Welcome back to another episode of After Bedtime with Big Little Feelings and Besties. I am so glad you're here because today's episode is going to truly reshape your parenting and your life. So much of raising healthy kids and changing generational patterns is us reshaping how we handle stress and triggers. This episode gives you an exact roadmap to handle your triggers by building awareness, identifying your stress style, learning to monitor your triggers, and finding the right coping tools for you so that your triggers are no longer in the driver's seat of your parenting. Let's do this. If you follow us on Instagram, you know that Moki, my pug, he is my number one baby. He's my firstborn. I love him so much. But if I'm being really, really honest, ever since having kids, he doesn't get the attention that he used to. I do my best, but there's a lot going on. But one thing that makes me feel really good is we recently switched his food to the farmer's dog. And I cannot tell you how happy this little pug is every morning and every night when he's about to eat. Even my husband commented yesterday, he's like, I've never seen Moki prance around so excited. He loves this food. And I've noticed a difference where he does look happier, he has more energy, he just looks like a healthier dog. The farmer's dog makes and delivers fresh, healthy dog food. It's recommended by vets, nutritionally balanced, and it's made from human-grade ingredients in safe, clean kitchens. Honestly, when you pour it, you can tell how real and how clean this food is. In hindsight now, I can really see how like traditional dry and wet dog food options are extremely processed, and they can use so much lower quality ingredients than they claim to, and they're extremely difficult to portion accurately. And if you're using dry food or like store-bought food, no guilt. I did it for a really long time, but I now notice such a difference since I've switched him, which is why I'm here sharing the farmer's dog with you so you can incorporate it into your family. And one little detail that I love, it makes life easier, is the farmer's dog isn't just higher quality food. They also send you the right pre-portioned size specifically for your dog based on their unique nutritional needs. This makes it really easy to help your dog reach and stay at their ideal weight, which is one of the biggest indicators of a full, healthy life. In fact, dogs at healthy weights can live as much as 16% longer than overweight ones, and that's 2.5 years. A fresh diet has been found to have all sorts of benefits from healthier coat and skin to better breath and even easier digestion and smaller, better poops. Yes, poops matter. A healthy diet isn't just important for humans. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/feelings. Let the farmer's dog know that we sent you. Use our code or click podcast after you sign up for your first box. Besties, you know that After Bedtime, this is a podcast where we navigate the wild world of parenting after our little ones have gone to sleep. But we can't forget our other little babies, our furry little troublemakers, our dogs. I have a little pug. His name is Moki and we call him Momo, and he really is my number one baby. He was my first child. And at the same time, as much as we love our pets, we know they can get into some trouble sometimes. Let me tell you about a time that my sweet, sweet baby Moki got into a bit of trouble. My one-year-old was just learning how to do solids. He's practicing. I gave him a huge lamb bone. And the baby, being a baby, accidentally dropped it on the floor, and within seconds, I kid you not, I looked over. Before I could grab it, Moki inhaled the lamb bone all 6 inches in a pug down his throat. It was horrifying. We rushed him to an emergency vet, and thankfully, it was a 3-day journey. He is okay, but trust me, the vet bills, they were no joke. Speaking of which, we wanted to share a message from our partner Spot Pet Insurance, because Spot Pet Insurance plans can offer up to 90% cash back on eligible vet bills, which sounds like a game changer and something I wish I had on the Moki Lambone fiasco. Honestly, like, it was bad on top of bad when I got the bill. But now, imagine getting up to 90% cash back on that bill. And the Spot Pet Insurance plan offers not only coverage for accidents and illness plans, but an optional preventative care benefit as well to help with the cost for routine wellness, vaccines, and more. And if you catch yourself thinking like, Is it expensive? Let me tell you, it is probably less expensive than the unexpected $1,800 vet bill that I got served. Go to spotpetinsurance.com today and get a free quote instantly. It's very easy.
Disclaimer, paid ad for Spot Pet Insurance. Waiting periods, annual deductible, coinsurance, benefit limits, and exclusions may apply. For all terms, visit spotpetins.com/sample-policy. Insurance plans are underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC. Here we are.
Oh, hey.
Hey, besties.
Besties.
And Tyler.
And Tyler.
Besties.
There he is.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey, besties out there.
Team, I have a dilemma going on in my house.
Don't like it already.
Vetoed. Okay. My 3-year-old, for the first time ever, just asked me for a pet snake.
Absolutely not.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Why do they always want snakes? I feel like mine always wants snakes.
Always snakes.
And it always started with a snake, too. Mm-hmm. Like, our oldest really wanted a snake around 3 years old. What is that?
I don't know. Huh. But I thought I was going to be the chill mom before I had kids.
Sure.
I was like, I am that mom who would totally have a snake and like a cute little tank and everything like that. Like, I loved capturing lizards. Yeah. I would always release them. They're my besties.
Yeah.
I took really good care of them and then I would let them go.
Did you build houses for them out of wood?
Of course I did. I got them food. They always had water. They had really nice little leaf tents. I mean, I went all out for them.
Yeah.
Besties.
Dina's trauma response as a child was to create homes for different animals out of wood, which I feel like is a great trauma response. Like, honestly.
Yeah, it's not harmful.
Yeah.
So we'll put it that way.
Did we talk about the woodworking? Did we talk about
we
the woodworking?
Did.
I think we did.
Daniel Tiger's mom, my idol.
Yeah, you're the Daniel Tiger mom.
Yeah, I still aspire to be her. But anyways, I'm not that mom. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have a snake in my house at this point.
At no point have I ever been that parent.
Mm. I feel like we get into low-key conflict. Small conflict because I'm almost that parent. Like, you pull me back where I'm like, let's just, like, screw it, let's just get a hamster, let's just do the hamster thing, let's get some fish, let's get a gerbil.
Yeah. You know, get
let's
a get chinchilla. A bunny. Who cares?
Cats. Who cares? Just get some fluffy cats. And he's always like, if you know, like, he doesn't have a whole lot of hard lines. He's very supportive and basically I could say anything in the entire world. I think you would say to me, like,
I'd probably be supportive.
Love that. Let's do it. And this is your one hard line that I just respect.
But when I say, like, you better not bring home another thing that breathes.
I might.
Like, don't.
I might. I'm so close every time.
Besties, Kristen would be open to bringing home any animal.
I really would.
I cannot think of an animal that she would not bring home.
I would totally bring
a pig
home.
At this point in life.
You know, like, I'm that person.
Let me tell you where I'm at.
Okay.
For Valentine's Day, my husband, like, hyped up my gift for 2 weeks. Different times. He'd be like, sorry, I have to run out now and go coordinate your gift. Like, I'll be back soon. He did it 3 times. And then finally, Valentine's Day rolls around and he's like, here's your gift. And it's a live plant.
Oh, no.
In a cardboard box. Huh. And I was like, why would you get me another living thing? I can't do this right now.
This is a job. You just gave me a job.
I can't do that.
Oh,
technically,
no.
Technically, plants are breathing, so don't bring those home either.
Yeah, no, I'm more mad about a plant than an animal. Like, if you surprised me with an animal, I'd be thrilled. I mean, I've only wanted that my whole life. I'll never forget that my sister got...
There it is. There it is.
My sister, on Christmas morning, before I was born, got a kitten.
Before you
okay?
were born,
a kitten. And I never got a present of a pet.
And that's where her trauma started.
That's where it comes from.
Before she was even born.
And someone surprised me with something, that'd be great. I'll take a snake.
Okay, maybe. We'll see what happens.
I'm feeling a little more
open-minded.
You really
I'd rather
are.
A pig.
Please don't let me convince you.
I would like
snake.
A pig. I'm just going to end there. If we're going to get a weird animal,
Mike,
can I get a cute pig?
Mike, if you're listening, pig.
Pig.
Yeah. Pig over plant.
I want to know, though, what did he go do 3 times for
That's
a plant?
What I also want to know, what were you expecting to come? Because I would expect something.
Oh, I need to know.
Yeah. Jewelry.
Significant.
Jewelry. I did clarify that after the fact. I was like, you know, when you really hype it up that hard, I thought it was going to be jewelry. I'm just going to say it, and I would love some jewelry. You know, I would really welcome that next time. Thank you for the thoughtfulness, though. He had to go literally to the nursery, talk to the experts. He's a Virgo, so he did really all the very thorough research to find the right plant with the right sunlight, the watering. He walked all the options and like really put a lot of effort in, which I do appreciate.
So you got like a good plant.
I don't know what it's called, but it's red and green.
Okay. Okay.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's a little exotic.
That's great. Exotic. It'll be dead in 2 weeks for sure.
That's the sad part.
For sure. Yeah. Do you feel bad about it anymore? Because I don't. Anytime somebody brings a plant, because I used to be the person that would bring the plants into our home. I'd go to Trader Joe's. I'd be with the kids. I would bring home the plant.
Like, this
I'd be
is
like,
it.
This is it. Like, this is the one. This is my new little plant. I love this plant. It would die. I'd feel horrible. Now, I definitely don't do that. And then when people give me a plant, I know the second they give that plant to me, dead. I'm not taking care of it. It's going to die. I just don't even try, and I don't feel badly about it anymore. I have no moral obligation to this plant.
I feel guilt about a lot of things. This plant is not one. And I told him straight to his face, I was like, I really appreciate all the effort, and I'm just letting you know, we're going to set the expectation really low because I'm already juggling 1 million things. This plant is at the very bottom
of things.
There's 999,000 things that are before this very cute exotic plant. Thank you. I love you.
Speaking of love, we love our kids so much. We love our kids so much. And my God, they test us. They do. Like,
oh, they do.
I am tested daily because triggers. Like, we all have triggers, and when we have kids, those triggers are just like dug out of the mud. Triggers you didn't even know you have. So today, we're going to talk triggers and how to make sure your triggers are not in the driver's seat. They're not taking over all the time. They're just a part of this whole parenting thing that we can totally manage.
By the end of this episode, you are going to have a literal roadmap to help you manage your triggers. But before we even get into that, I just want to take a second to really applaud you for being here. Parenting is hard. We love our kids so damn much that it feels like our hearts are going to explode sometimes. And sometimes we are so exhausted, so pushed to and past our limits. And that is just part of being human. You are a good parent. You are here listening to a parenting podcast, ready to show up, to get tools, to do the work. This is not about perfection. You are already doing enough. You're here ready to grow. And that is amazing. So take a second to just celebrate that.
Let me tell you, I am just really glad to be here for this episode because I got some triggers.
So do I.
I got some triggers.
That's we all point. Do.
Okay, but speaking of triggers, I feel like this word gets thrown around left and right these days. Like, actually is being triggered? It's not just being uncomfortable. It's not something that just kind of like rubs you the wrong way. It's an intense emotional reaction in response to a current situation that involuntarily brings up memories, even ones that you can't explicitly remember in your mind. They're stored in your body. Your past experiences, they've literally hardwired your nervous system. So now the reaction that you're having in this moment isn't necessarily matching the situation at hand.
Yeah, that's something really cool that I learned about recently is like, it's a stress response. Mm. It's a proper stress response. It's something that brings you closer to the edge of your window of tolerance. And it might take you past your window of tolerance where you're no longer able to think about things rationally and you just want to respond. And that's where you have those subconscious responses to like yell or storm off or things like that. So it's really important, I think, to like understand that's what's happening. You're not a bad person. These are things that are triggering past emotions and stresses, and it comes out.
And these responses, I feel like for me at least, they're so shameful. Like, I am not a yeller. I'm not a yeller. So why am I yelling? Like, my personality is a certain way. Or I'll think, God, I'm nothing like my mom. I'm nothing like my dad. I'll never do this to my kids. And then it's such a harrowing experience to hear yourself say the exact same things that your parents said to you that you said you would never do.
That's the worst.
And in the way that you said you would never do it.
And it's within seconds of doing it too. Where like there's crying. Oh, crying is a big one for me. And then I'm like, it's okay, stop crying. And then I'm immediately like, oh, that was it. I just did it. I just repeated it.
And we just, oh my God, we walk away, right? And we're just feeling, now we feel regulated because we like got it out. We felt triggered. We went up. We exploded. We walk away. We get back to baseline and we're like, oh my God, like I'm a monster. My 4-year-old was just asking for ice cream. Like obviously they want ice cream. You know what I mean? And there's so much shame around it. And
oh yeah.
When we think of it as being this neurological response, this is hardwired into our nervous system. This is not actually me. I like to just kind of even separate it sometimes and think of it as this sort of other thing.
Who's showing up? Is,
yeah, it's this default mode that was programmed into me from my childhood. That's not me. And it's going to happen and it's going to be there because the more shame we all feel around it, the more we try to push that shame away. And then because we're pushing it away, we're not actually acknowledging what our real trigger is. Yes, I have an urge to yell. You know?
Right on. The more you resist it, the more it persists. The best thing we can do is just embrace that this is part of being human. We got to learn to work with it.
And that's why I thought it was so interesting that you guys used the word of like, who's in the driver's seat? Because that's like the first step is who's driving? Is it your stress response? If you can recognize that, that's your first step. I mean, the fact that you're even realizing that is huge. Get your healthy adult in the driver's seat. Recognize the stress response. Say, all right, you're not driving. You're here. But you're not driving the car right now. I'm going to show up as the healthy parent.
Exactly. And the exciting thing is that we can literally build our brain to deal with stress and triggers better at any age. Any age, you can build your brain and grow.
Well, here's the thing, ladies. Question from me and the besties. How do we acknowledge those stresses, but not let them show up as our response? How do we not yell? How do we not storm off? How do we not feel like a crazy person when we're getting so stressed out?
Good news, Tyler. We have we have four tools.
Oh.
We're going to literally give you an exact roadmap.
Fantastic.
In this episode. You're going to walk away feeling prepared to deal with triggers.
I love all the car references too. This is like sorted out for me. You know, we got
For the men.
This is for is for the fellas. We got roadmaps. We got driving references. What else do we got? Do we have something to
sports
like turbocharge this?
Football's in here.
I've only got one more car reference, which is that's my number one trigger is crying when you're trapped in a car when you can't get out and it's loud. That is one of my yelling triggers.
So let's dive into those four
things.
Let's dive into the four tools.
Okay, we're big believers that small, easy changes can have big results, and that goes for your skincare routine too. These days, it's so confusing to know what product works for this and that and which work together in what order. So I'm just going to make it easy for you. The Work System from Dime Beauty. Dime Beauty is clean, it's high-end skincare that's affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean either. And when I say clean, by the way, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I do not have time to remember a 10-step routine. The Work System is everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers. Plus, with spring and summer around the corner, I love anything with sunscreen. Their Tinted Glow Wonder Screen with SPF 30 just came out in new shades, and it's amazing. Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. Love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. Dimebeautyco.com. It's about time you've checked out Dime.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
Okay, bestie. So triggers are a part of life. This is part of being human. We get stressed. We get pushed to our limits. So what do we actually do? How do we retrain our nervous system? And the very first thing that we can start to do is make friends with your triggers.
That feels uncomfortable. Like getting comfortable with my triggers. I don't want to do that. So how do we go about that? Like, how do we do that?
Well, actually, I'm glad you said that because you're the one who said distress tolerance. How much discomfort, uncertainty, loud noises, uncomfortable stuff we can deal with before we go into the red zone, which is like stress mode, survival brain kicks on. We can actually start to get comfortable with being uncomfortable with practice. Mm. And part of this is really just embracing and getting to know your triggers. Because when you just make friends with them, when you accept them as they are without, like you said, Kristen, fighting it or pretending it's not happening, like this is part of life. Mm-hmm. And when you know what your triggers are, you've already put yourself in a position to deal with them better. So step one, what are your triggers?
Roadmap them. Literally roadmap them. This was such a game changer for me. I remember having a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. This was before we started, or right when we started, Big Little Feelings, actually. And I remember this one moment. We were walking home from the park and it was about to be nap time. And they were crying. It was a baby and the 3-year-old. There was so much crying. And I lost it. I snapped and I yelled and I threatened and I was like, we're never doing this again. Just all the things I never want to do. And I kind of started to notice a pattern that anytime I, the parent, decided to go somewhere and do something right before nap time, that's when I would start to lose my shit.
Yep.
And I knew I needed that nap time. This isn't about them. This isn't like, oh, they need nap or they're not going to make. I need nap time, right? And so the closer we get, and if they're delaying in any ways, because they're toddlers, they're going to start walking backwards on a path, the more I'm getting heightened and heightened and heightened and heightened because we're getting closer and closer and closer to nap time. I had to understand that while I might want to be a more flexible person, people shouldn't really feel triggered by this. You're feeling ashamed. You don't really want to be this way. Guess what? The reality is on my roadmap, one of my triggers is being out close to bedtime or nap time. What do I do about it? Well, this is how I am. I'm not going to put myself in that situation because I can't control my toddler in that situation. I can control myself. I'm going to make sure that we're home with more than enough time for nap and bedtime.
Yes, exactly. One of my triggers, by the way, that I've realized recently, and this will change in different seasons of life,
totally,
right, in parenthood. If I have a work deadline and my children are around, they could literally say anything at all, and I will probably turn and yell at them. And now I've built in systems to try and prevent this whole context from happening in the first place. But it's a good example. The more you get to know your trigger, the better prepared you can be. So, Bessie, I want you to literally list out your triggers at the end of this podcast. Once you're done, take a quiet moment and just list out recently what has been triggering.
Notice any patterns and really come at this in a non-shaming way, because even your trigger, Dina, that you just mentioned is mm-hmm. also my trigger. I just know that about myself, but I will convince myself that I shouldn't be that way. Like, I can think of this one influencer who's a mom influencer who I love following her, and I'm constantly seeing her stories and how she like structures her day and she does it perfectly, and like when the baby is doing a sensory activity, that's when she posts her stories during the day, and I'm like, oh, that's like, why can't I do that? And it's like, no. Same with nap time, bedtime. It doesn't matter what. It could be the most obscure, seemingly like, this should be easy for anyone. Nope. What is the thing that once you get close to it, it could be getting out the door for school. It could be making lunch. It could be so many different things. Identify shame-free. What are your triggers?
100%. And then we're going to shift into number 2 on our roadmap.
Wait a minute.
Oh.
I want to pass it to this guy. What are your triggers? You didn't share. You haven't shared. What's your triggers?
I feel like I have so many. I can't pinpoint one, which is like, yikes. But You guys made some great points. And what I want to acknowledge, like, something that's like so valuable and something that I've worked on is, like, not only are you finding out what your triggers are, you're being vulnerable about what they are. But once you begin to do that and you're like, okay, this is a natural response, you can start to remove some of that shame, because you're not going to make any changes to this. You're not going to adapt to it unless you confront that shame and kind of realize, like, this is natural. It doesn't mean I'm a horrible parent. It means I have work to do. Mm. Let's get to work. That's my takeaway on it.
Mm-hmm. What are your triggers?
Oof.
Do you not want to get into them?
No. I think the main one, no. a big one is getting out the door on time for school. Mm-hmm. Or like going anywhere. Because let me tell you, besties, I don't know about you guys, but my kids love to make a delay. They love to delay. What's one more thing they can do? It's like the thing that you guys say of nobody has more to do on their to-do list than a toddler before bedtime. For me, it's with leaving the house.
I know. I think that's a big one for most people, by the way. I really do think that's true. And I think the one thing that helped me with that one is I realized, do I want to get there on time and have a harrowing experience where I scream at my kids? And by the way, we probably still won't be on time.
You're still going to be late.
Or... might I be 5 to 10 minutes late, but we have like a pleasant experience getting out the door. So I just kind of like removed my guard. I really did. I was just like, you know what, babe? And like the other thing is, we as adults, I don't know that we let children be children. And I know we need to get out the door. I know that. I'm not saying like, just don't ever go to school. But God, everything is an experiment to them. Everything, like they are little scientists. They're like, wait a minute, I need to just make sure this like ball is going to fall and drop off the table real quick and see what that happens. And it's like,
at the end of the day, 2 to 5 minutes is not going to destroy my day. Yeah. And they're going to be happier.
Yeah.
And the more you fight it, the more time they're going to take.
You just got to buffer in more time. Let them be kids. That's on us.
It's on me for not starting the day sooner.
Which is why we're talking about triggers.
Down to,
see, but now you know that's your trigger. And look at you doing all this work to like create systems and mental shifts. Look
so
at you.
Much. Not only are we on time more, but we were late 2 times this week already. And it's Wednesday. We're 2 for 3 late.
You know what? Still got tomorrow.
But it's not perfect.
Yeah.
Let's celebrate that win.
I was like, you know what, guys? We can round out this week. We can round it out. And we were on time today.
You know what? Because we're talking about how our parents' responses get wired into us as kids. When it comes to getting out the door, I, as an adult, feel frazzled. I feel anxiety. When we go to travel, when I'm about to approach holidays, I feel next level physically stressed. Oh my God, what are we going to do? And all this panic. And you want to know why? It's because when I was a kid, those were experiences where my parents were shouting at me to get out the door. It was so high stress that getting out the door or going to travel or going to a holiday feels so stressful. And I want my kids, I want them to be on time, but more so, I really want them to wake up in the morning, have their coffee, get out the door, and head to work. And I don't want it to be hardwired into their nervous systems to feel horrible.
That it has when to be.
It has to be just so, or the whole world is destroyed. That's not really what I want to teach them. I want to teach them healthy habits to get out the door sooner and be on time. And also, it's not the end of the world. That's what I want to teach them.
Hell yeah.
What do we got next?
Okay, roadmap. We love a roadmap.
We're back in the car as a healthy adult. Where are we going next?
Step number two, you have to get to know what your overstressed style is. Tyler, you were naturally hinting on this, that everyone gets stressed and everyone goes past their window of tolerance, like how much distress you can tolerate without shifting into these stressful survival mode, maladaptive coping skills. So when we go beyond what we can handle well, our brain shifts into survival mode. Your prefrontal cortex, which is the thinking, the reasoning part of your brain, is now offline. And now the emotional and sheer survival mechanisms, they kick on. So I'm talking about fight, flight, and freeze. So when we're talking about parenting, by the way, and we get overstressed, what's your style? Are you the fight, where it's like the exploder, which, spoiler alert, is me, the yelling, the outburst, you're saying mean things? Are you flight? That's more of like you're the runner. Either you're literally just leaving the situation or mentally you're checking out. You're going, okay, fine, sure, have whatever you want. And you become kind of permissive. You're not able to hold boundaries. You're not really able to show up in a sturdy, confident way or respond at all. Or are you a freeze, the total shutdown? You become paralyzed, frozen. You might even start to feel dizzy, like you're going to pass out. You know, find your stress style, which can change in different situations.
And that's totally it. You said it. As soon as you go outside of your window of tolerance, you're into sympathetic response mode, fight, flight, freeze. I would love to say I'm a runner, but no, I'm a fighter. And I hate that about myself. I know what it is and I hate it.
I'm a runner and I hate that I'm a runner. So does that make you feel better?
No.
I'm a fighter and I hate that I'm a fighter. Yeah. Literally, we had a lot of yelling, like talking about how your childhood wires you. I came from a house where when tension happened, when someone didn't like the way you were talking to them, or they didn't like your feelings, frankly, there was a harsh, yelling, aggressive, sometimes physically aggressive response. And now I hate that when I am triggered and in the red zone, which we'll get to, by the way, in a little bit, physically, I have this urge to, like, you know, pick up my children and shake them, like what happened to me. And I hate that. That is part of my rewiring.
And it's so unlike your natural personality. It really is. Yes. And I think that's the hardest part of all of this is, Tyler, if I may, one of your...
We'll find out. We'll find out if you may.
It's so... Sometimes the like, oh, this comes from your childhood, it's not that obvious, right? So you're just like, oh, I'm a monster. With you, with you, I can watch it happening in real time where, like, it will sound identical to your father, and it's so not your personality at all, where it's just because you're in a stress zone and it's not constant. This isn't how you always are. But if you're in a stress zone, it's like, hey, pick up your shoes. Why are you putting that there? What are you doing? Where are the socks? It's about cleanliness for some reason. And I'm like looking at your shoes that you're tripping over, right? Because you're like, we're not the cleanest people. And it's only when you're in a stress zone. It's just this biological response that makes no sense. It's not like we're the cleanest house on earth. No. And you love things to be clean. So now you've taught them over and over and over how to clean, and they're not really getting it right. It makes no sense. And it's just a parrot response of what you heard as a child when your nervous system starts to feel stressed.
And you know what it is? It's like, how can I control this situation?
There it is.
How can I control? Because it feels out of control right now.
Yeah.
What can I do to control it?
Wow. Because mine is the run away or to freeze or whatever. So mine is like, F this. Like, I'm done. I don't know what to do. Not like I'm done with motherhood or threatening to
drive yourself to school.
God, by the way, take a pause.
You're old enough to drive.
No, but it's more just like I just kind of shut down, right? Where it's like, yeah. That's my instinct. And luckily, I've been doing a lot of work, so I tend not to necessarily do that. But the threats come out on my end. It's like, well, I don't mean we're never going to go to the park again by any means. What is happening? And it's truly just this like vomiting out of my mouth based on what was said to me as a child.
It'll be, yeah, like you said, it'll be things you don't even want to do. You're like, no. Well, we're never going out to eat again.
Of course
again.
I want to go to
you're
the
like,
park.
I am not cooking every single meal at home. So we are
myself.
Definitely going back out to eat again.
I mean, we're not doing that. It's true, but when you're in this overstressed mode and the survival brain has kicked on, you're no longer responding, you're simply reacting. And that's what we want to get ahead of here.
Okay, so step one, identify what are the outside things that trigger me, realistically. By the way, do this without parenting. Do this in general. Number two, what is your response when you hit the red zone, when you're in overstressed mode? Number three is acknowledging your overstressed style. Like Dina was saying, her overstressed style is aggression. Like this, just this physical urge. So listener, maybe that resonates. Maybe you were spanked as a child. Maybe you were pinched as a child. Maybe you got like the arm squeezing as a child, and you hate that when you're triggered as a parent, it's just this natural urge. Here's what we're going to do. When we notice in the moment that this is happening, this is a harsh reality, but it is a reality. I am feeling the urge to pinch. I am feeling the urge to yell so loud right now. I am just feeling this rage in my body, which I can relate to. What you're going to do is you're going to notice that feeling. You are going to say hi to it. You are going to separate this feeling from you. And I know this is hard. You're going to have to pause before you do this. and you're going to say, I'm noticing an urge to spank. I'm starting to feel really hot. I'm noticing an urge to just yell. High feeling. This isn't me. I'm just overstressed. This is my overstressed response. This is an impulse. High feeling.
Exactly. And then here is a concrete tool that I want you to keep in your pocket to help you continue doing this. Think of this whole experience of monitoring your triggers, your experience, just like Kristen said. Think of it like a thermometer. You want to be able to track your temperature rising before you're going into the total red and it's a 911 situation, which, by the way, is still going to happen. We are not aiming for perfection here. We're aiming for progress and growth. So think of your thermometer. It's got three levels to it, okay? There's the yellow, like things are heating up a little bit. I'm getting a little bit annoyed, irritated. I'm feeling a little bit of stress. Now it jumps up to the orange. You're at the next level where that stress, that discomfort, those uncomfortable feelings and sensations in your body are just building. And then the level after that is the red zone, my friends. And that is where it's become too much to handle. It's put us in a stress response. So we want to be able to think of it as this thermometer that we can start to track our experience.
I do like the thermometer idea because when you're in the yellow, you typically are still aware of what's going on. You're still like, oh, like, I don't like this. I don't like what's going on. The idea is to keep that awareness as you get to orange, as you get to red. So keeping that awareness as you escalate, even if you're escalating, it's going to happen. Making sure you're still aware, because then you can kind of keep a handle on that speed with which you're rising up the gauge there.
100%, because what we're really trying to do is regulate our nervous systems. We're trying to turn off the sympathetic nervous system, which releases stress hormones into your body, and it makes it harder to access that upper part of your brain. Again, that helps with thinking and controlling your impulses, and leaving you in a state of hypervigilance, fear, rage, all our stress stuff. And instead, we want to intentionally kick on that parasympathetic nervous system and release neurotransmitters like GABA, which has a calming effect, and more of those feel-good hormones so that you can get the thinking, reasoning, impulse control, problem-solving parts of your brain back online.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch's sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so first, we are listing out all of our triggers. So now we know what all our triggers are. Second, we identified our overstressed style. We yell or we shut down, whatever your style is. Number three is we're pausing in that moment and we're naming our feeling. We're naming what's happening and separating it from ourselves. Number four is we are using our thermometer to gauge what is happening inside our bodies. And number five, we are combining all these things together to add in coping skills for the different levels of your thermometer.
Exactly. We want to have real tools on hand for those different levels, because honestly, at different levels, like Tyler was saying, you're going to need different tools. Like taking a deep breath when you're in the red, you probably can't. You just straight up probably cannot. So let's set you up for success by finding the right coping skills as that thermometer is creeping up so that you can actively start to bring it back down.
Girlfriend, can we just pause for a second? Because I feel like this is what what stops so many of us from actually using coping skills is that everything that we see out there is so unattainable and unrealistic, where it's like, are you about to yell at your kid? Just take a deep breath. And you're like, well, I mean, I can't, you know? Literally can't. And so it's just, all right, let's just barrel through the day. It is such a game changer what Dina is about to share, where you really have to match what type of coping skill you are using in each level.
Okay, let's break it down. You've gone from green, where you're all good. Now it's creeping into the yellow. You're getting irritable. You find the tension kind of rising in your body. What coping skills will help you when you're in this mild stress state? Is it taking a deep breath? That's actually a time, yellow, is when you probably can take a deep breath, and it's really, really effective for shifting your nervous system. Maybe it's smelling something intense, which is a little hack to shift how your brain's working and get you calm again. Get outside, look at the sky, touch some grass. I am not kidding. That's not like a silly TikTok joke. Maybe you go on a walk. It's that bilateral stimulation. Maybe this is the right time for shifting how you're thinking. Notice, what are you actually saying to yourself in this moment? Is it, I'm about to lose my shit? You can actually shift what you're saying to yourself. Like, I can do hard things. Use some of those mantras. Therefore, I'm 34. This will pass. Whatever type of thinking support. Yeah. That will help you.
If you're having a hard time, but you're inside of your window of tolerance, for me, this is the time to use like the cognitive stuff. Mm-hmm. Reframing, thinking, okay, why am I feeling this way? Is that logical? What are they feeling as a child? Is it typical for a child? It probably is. Am I responding as a healthy adult? Maybe I'm not. That's the time for when you can rethink things. Once you get outside of that window of tolerance, don't even bother trying to think. It's not going to happen until you get back inside your window of tolerance and you're in those sympathetic responses. That's when I love the physical sensation stuff. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. What is that? 5 things you see, 4 things you
hear,
3 things you smell, 2 things you feel, 1 thing you taste.
Yeah.
You're using all of your senses to get back in tune with your body. Come back into your body. Holding ice cubes. I love that one. Our daughter already does that one.
I know. She figured that one on her own.
Proud of her.
Yeah.
Things that make you back in touch with your body again. You're dissociated. Smelling eucalyptus. Mm-hmm. Peppermint. Those are good ones.
Back against a wall. I like to put my back against a wall.
Back against your wall.
You got to figure out what works for you, by the way, because not everything. Taking a deep breath doesn't work for everybody, but it does work for other people.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's so many different ways, like you're saying, of staying within your window of tolerance before you get to red, because you're not going to do any of these things in red. Let's all just be really clear.
And don't expect to make any breakthroughs when you're in red either. If you're about to explode, now's not the time to go, I'm a bad parent. What do I do? What do I do to be a good parent again? It's like, don't even focus on that. Get back to parasympathetic.
Yeah.
Is that the one?
Dude, Tyler, you just killed it. You just literally explained like all the psychology stuff behind this.
Nailed it. Self high five.
Yeah. Woo! When you're in the yellow and orange, and then as you shift into that high orange into the red, it's really about the body stuff. And Kristen, like you're saying, you have to not only find what works for you, find it for you and tailor it to these different levels. When 100%. You are in the red, straight up stop if you can. Like, tap out. I have a system at home right now with my husband where if he's home, we're both home. We literally, if we are in the red, it's just like, I need a break. You go in, I'm tapping out, I need a break.
The only time we use a timeout in our home... This is such a big little feelings joke. The only time we use a timeout in our home is when the adults need a timeout. And that's our system too, is I will hand a crying child to my husband and go, I need a timeout. And there's no questions and it's not a bad thing and nobody is ashamed.
And
this is
it.
A good thing. This is it. Like, awesome. Good for you. You just noticed that you need to go take a step away. Nice. Okay. What about when your partner is not there? Because you may not have a partner. Maybe your partner is away. What then?
100%. Listen, if your kid is in a safe place, go to the bathroom. Take a second. Go in the pantry.
Love
a
pantry.
Cry for a moment in the pantry.
Love a pantry moment. That's yes. Where I go.
And honestly, if your kid is there and you can't leave them alone, because that's going to happen too sometimes, go put cold water on your face, like right away. It'll shift how you're feeling. It gives you that moment to pause.
And I feel like the way that our childhood experience was our parents got into a red zone, and then there was this blanket sort of punishment of, go get in your room. I can't stand to look at you. I can't even look at your face. Think about what you've done. And as a kid, I remember it's like, sometimes I did something, sometimes I didn't do something. Whatever it was, now I can see they were just triggered. They were in the red zone. And so when you need a moment and you're in the red zone, let us be clear, that is okay. I want you to take a moment. And there is such a difference in saying, go get in your room, I can't stand to look at you, versus saying, I'm feeling really hot in my body, I'm feeling really angry, and I just need a moment. Mommy needs a moment. I'm going to step in the pantry now. You are safe. I love you. I will be back. And that is so, so, so different. And not only is it amazing for you to take a minute, it's amazing for your child to watch you and hear you narrate how you handle when you get into a red zone, so that when they are older, they know, okay, when I get into a red zone, I need to step away. I need to take a deep breath. I need to take a minute for myself.
And listen, we are human. We are going to go into the red, beyond the red, and lose it at times. That's part of life. And what you do in those moments is repair, repair, repair. Own it. Apologize to your kid. Acknowledge, I probably made you feel scared and sad, didn't I? And commit with them to growing. Say, you know, yelling isn't the best way to let feelings out. That's me. I'm going to work on that. We have a whole episode, by the way, on repair. It's so good. This 15-minute tool and hack can literally change your life, your kid's life, and generational patterns in your family.
When we go back and we repair with our kids after we've made a mistake, it takes the shame off of them. What we don't want to do when we repair, by the way, is say something like, I'm sorry that I yelled at you, but God, you just wouldn't listen to me. I've done that about 500 times. Okay, there's no buts. There's no putting it back on them. Own your repair, because we want our kids to get the shame off of them. And children are egocentric. They're going to think, this is all my fault. I am a bad kid. My mommy doesn't love me. When we go back and we apologize, we are just retelling the story that is going in their head, so that after the apology, they are thinking, okay, mom had some big feelings. She's really sorry. She's going to work on it. I'm a good kid. We're all good. Like, repair and move on and let that guilt kind of go.
And besties, like, really absorb that apology. Think about if you were a child again, and if something like that happened, there was an explosion moment, think about how impactful it would have been to just hear, hey, sweetie, I'm sorry. That wasn't your fault. And that's all you need.
Just hearing you say that to me as a partner in this room, hey, feels Chris, really nice. Yeah, no, I was like listening. I was like, oh my God, thank you. You're,
hey,
like,
Kristen, hey, sweetie. I'm sorry.
You have a tear in your eye.
It's not your fault.
Oh my God, that was nice. Like a warm hug right there.
Remember that, besties, because like, that's the hug you could have used as a kid. So give it to yours.
Okay, and bestie, harsh reality here. I hate to say this, okay, because we see it everywhere. Self-care, self-care, self-care. I don't really know if we need to call it self-care. I think it's more about noticing when your gas tank is starting to near empty. And instead of only kind of refilling that after it's all like we have broken down on the side of a highway and everyone is screaming and everyone is crying and it is just a disaster, okay? Like AAA has to be called in to come and save you.
You're on the Griswold family vacation.
I don't even know what that means.
Don't worry about it. Two people will get it, and that's okay, enough for me.
Okay, great. It's for you. It's for the two besties.
That one's for me and Steve.
Instead, really identifying when we are starting to feel run down. That means 911, I've got to put my oxygen mask on first. It doesn't matter what it is, whatever fuels you up, whether that's a workout, a bubble bath, getting a babysitter, having grandma come over. There's a million different things you can do, but trying to avoid the I am run down and on my last rope, whatever you need to do to avoid that in the first place, we got to do it. We got to recognize that when our gas tank is on empty, of course we're going to yell. Of course we're going to be short with everyone, our partners, our kids. We are going to be so broken that we take it out on the people that we love the most. So we've got to keep our gas tanks halfway full. I'm not going for full. I'm going for halfway full.
100%. I'm with you. Besties, remember, the goal is not to be perfect and to never get triggered. The goal here is to start noticing that the thermometer's rising before you're in the red and practice tools for regulating your nervous system. You're already doing a great job. You've got these tools now, so I'm really, really excited for you. And take a second to really just acknowledge how amazing you are doing at this parenting thing. You're already crushing it. You've got this. And now I've got to go to bed.
Let's go to bed, besties.
Let's go restore. Let's go have a moment.
Let's do it.
Good night, besties.
Good night, besties. We love you. We'll see you next week.
See you soon.
Love you guys.
Bye, besties. If you are struggling with toddler or preschooler tantrums, pushback, discipline, picky eating, just all the confusing things, this podcast, we can only scratch the surface. If you need help, our course, Winning the Toddler Stage, is here to help. It is aptly nicknamed the Toddler Manual because it truly has every single thing you could possibly struggle with under the sun between the ages of 1 and 6 within one course. We're not going to do a bunch of workshops. You have to buy the sleep guide and the picky eating guide and the this guide and the that guide. No, everything you could possibly need for ages 1 through 6 is all in this one course. We were never meant to do this parenting thing alone. You deserve to have help. We are here for you. You can find that course at biglittlefeelings.com and be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Big Little Feelings. We give free tips every single day. They might change your life with one free tip.
Thank you so much for being here with us. This has been an Odyssey production, executive produced by Lauren LaGrasso, produced by Daniela Silva, edited by Bob Tabador, and theme music composed by Liz Full. Then studio lighting designed by Shane Sackett and designed by Jackie Shearman. Special thanks to Odyssey Executive Vice President and Head of Podcasts, Jenna Weiss-Berman. And thank you for being here with us. We can't wait till next week.